I will open in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this Christmas season that we were able to focus our thoughts on the birth of Christ as we gathered to celebrate you on the 24th and on the Lord's Day and the children's choir day as well. And the greatest blessing given to us is in and through your Son. And we thank you for his birth. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his death and his resurrection, his promises to us. Thank you for loving us in Christ Jesus. Thank you for saving us and for the amazing promises that we will live with you forevermore. Lord, today we ask that you would just touch every person who has come out, and may we hear from you. May we remember you, may we see you in the service today. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So I was just wondering, what kind of temperament were you born with? Are you the cup is half empty or the cup is half full kind of person? If I were to ask you to, like, what do you remember about 2025? I wonder how many of us would just immediately go to all the terrible things that happened to us. How many of us might, oh, it was a number of great things. I think I'm somewhere in the middle, but anyways, I'll let other people judge that. But here's my text for today, Psalm 77:11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. I think the scriptures realize, God realizes that we as people have a tendency to forget the miracles that he's done in our life, the goodness that he's shown us, the blessings that he's bestowed upon us. And so the Lord calls us in this passage, and there's many other passages as well, to remember what the Lord has done. It's a very important spiritual discipline. It can have a great impact on your life, make quite a bit of a difference if you practice this faithfully and spiritually. I think the most important statement in this regard are Jesus' words in the New Testament. Do this in remembrance of me. Yeah, I think we're all prone to forget what God has done. The negative way of making the same point, we find this in Psalm 103, verse 1. David says to his own soul, he's speaking to himself, and he says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." He's like reminding himself, don't forget, because a heart that forgets and does not store God's blessings, is a heart that will not praise the Lord as is due him. I think a worshiper often begins his sentences by saying, "I remember when the Lord," and one who has forgotten always says, "When has the Lord done anything for me?" Right? How quickly the 9 lepers forgot the Lord's healing in their lives. And how quickly we forget as well. If you read Psalm 106, you'll find out that God calls Israel's forgetfulness out, his sin, which included, "They gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses. They soon forgot what he had done. They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt." Very easy for us to fall into this habit of forgetfulness. Now, today it's going to be a very different kind of service because I want to dedicate this morning to a time of remembering what the Lord has done in 2025. And I have asked a number of people from the congregation to come up and share. And I know this is going to be very difficult for them, but I've asked them to share for 5 minutes on what the Lord has done for the church community and also in their personal lives. And if there is time, I would also open it up for different people to come up if you have a story to share with the rest of us. So I'm going to ask if I could, if Duncan, could you come to the front and where is Rike? Oh, she's in the front already. We're going to start with the shells this morning. I know that Rike has to get back to Sunday school. So Rike, why don't you come up? We hear love our children, but not everybody gets a chance to hear of what's been taking place, what's behind the scenes with our kids. So I'm going to ask Rike to come, and then Duncan will come after.
I'm a cup runneth over person. God is good. I have 5 minutes to tell you of the year, and it's all on one piece of paper. There's lots that goes on. It seems quiet here, but you just go over there. It's a little hurricane happening down there and up across the way. Lots of busyness, very, very busy room building. So I'm going to try and condense our year to 5 minutes. I'll do my best. Okay, so some of you probably maybe not even aware of some of the things that Children's Ministry does. Our focus really is on this neighborhood and reaching out to, you know, the outer court. And I say that sort of like not meaning a pun, but, you know, they're in this outer court all the time. But reaching the neighborhood, and there was a time where there was many of us just walked here, like most of the church just walked here. And we're slowly coming back after becoming a church scattered. And now we're slowly coming back to be a neighborhood church. But it's been a hard, hard road. Lots of spiritual opposition. I feel it constantly. Nice people, great families, parents, but there's that spiritual tension for sure. So the newest thing that we do over there, oh, let me just double check that I don't go over my time. The newest thing that we've done is our arts, performing arts and fine arts program after school. And this is actually, we're partway through our third year. So if you've never heard of the ArtsyB, this is your introduction to what we do. We pick up the kids 5 days a week, and they come in until 6 o'clock, and they have their Bible time, and then they have either performing arts is Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We do vocals and instruments, drama. We read classic books. So it's kind of like restoring that kind of thinking into the kids. And they actually just love the Bible time. And that's part of that spiritual tension, because I know the families are very kind of cautionary about, Bible, okay. And we've had some not sign up or pull out or, you know, simply because of what we talk about, because the kids come home and they talk about it. So please pray for that spiritual tension that we're always constantly dealing. I'm always aware of that. And then we have the fine arts where they learn about all the great artists, and they do all kinds of mediums. We take them out to see great art. So there is really such a thing as good art. There's actually really bad art out there, too. The other thing that you don't see, because it's a very busy ministry, we do a lot of camps. And the camps are usually during the Pro-D days, where the kids have nothing to do. And so they end up in our building. There seems to be more each year. There's another Pro-D's, like, what? Do they not go to school? But there's lots of Pro-D days. I'm not sure what they do at those days. And we also have spring break camps and what we call urban camps. So in the summer. They come and have camp here. Some of them are sleepover, some of them just for the day. So we have about, I went through the schedule, the last year's schedule. We have 19 of those this year. We also do a club for kids on Friday nights where they just come in and there is a different activities, different guests, that kind of thing. And we do 30 of those a year. And then there's a community kind of events that partly it's for our fundraising. We do believe we should, you know, put in a little bit of time in that area and realize, you know, that some things are costly. So the kids are, well, actually leaders and kids, mostly leaders. We put on the yard sale, which attracts a lot of people. And this past year and the year before, we started a craft market. And that's been fairly well received. We'll see how that gains traction. And then we also have, we also partner with Vancouver Urban Ministries on Tuesdays and Thursdays. They come and teach math and English downstairs. And for highlights for this year, oh, and also we have the Kids of Summer. That's kind of our biggest and most well-known. We've been doing it for 26 years, so lots of... Every neighbor is on our lawn, so please come and speak to the outer court, speak to these people, and show that, really as a church, we have to go outside these walls. We have to be sort of missionaries, I guess, city missionaries, urban missionaries, and don't expect everything to happen in these four walls. There's lots of things happening out there, so... when we do the Kids of Summer, there's a lot of people, thanks to Duncan and his crew that puts up the pony corral, and we bring ponies in, and it's really well known in the neighborhood. People look forward to that one. And also the other new thing we did this year, it's not really new, but at Christmas time, we partnered with a church in Port Coquitlam called Living Life Community Church. And that if you were here on the night of the Christmas concert, the children's choir was composed of our kids and their kids, and also the Artsy Bee Performing Arts came. So a bunch of those kids are from the after-school program. And that's probably the only time that they will come in to the church. So it was a combination of all that, and it's quite an ordeal trying to work with that many kids going back and forth and, you know, practicing here and practicing here. And so I thought that it was worthwhile. We've done it before with New Beginnings. We masked with them as well. And yeah, it's always good for the kids to see other ministries and other churches. And I think I'm done. He's told me I'm done. All right. If you want to know more, read the annual report. I put everything in there. But, okay. This is my 5 minutes? That was 5 minutes.
That was eight.
Oh, it was not. It wasn't 8 minutes, was it?
Today you are going to see the law at work rather than grace. So just to get everybody in. Thank you, Rika, for sharing. And what a blessing also to just have so many new people come in through the children's ministries. So, Duncan, your time begins.
I'm sure I can keep it to 10. I've got first a question, some comments, and then maybe a challenge at the end if there's time. First question I've got is, when did we as society decide that the best way to measure optimism was with a glass of water? Anyhow, narrative. You know that for many years we've been working on the elevator project, changing it, condensing it, financing. And it went for a long time being fairly stale. As we worked through it behind the scenes, you wouldn't have seen what was going on. There was a very interesting business meeting that we had, or gathering that we had, and Teresa asked, you know, can we pray for this? And, you know, honestly, that hadn't crossed my mind. To me, work is work. Like, and when I do my work, I do my work. But we started praying for it, and things started to fall into place. And earlier this year, we got that little box in the corner. Yes, so, and the spinoff of that, we had thought of, you know, some people in our congregation needed it. Every time that I'd see somebody struggling down the stairs, I'd sit in there going, oh, we got to get this thing done, you know. But the thing is, there's been a spinoff. There's other things that we use it for when we have to move equipment around, things you wouldn't even think of. We don't have to tote it up the stairs. But the real spinoff has been what happens when you do what we plan to do, which is to make the church more accessible. Pearson's mom was here at the Christmas concert. There's no way she could have been here before, and now she was able to. People that had never seen her met her for the first time just because of the elevator. So we're so grateful that that's done. Thank you. And as we're working on the entryway, which is just a big hole in the ground there right now, we look forward to what that will mean when we get that completed as well. We don't even know yet, but we know that God is good, and he shows us the fruits of our labors are worthwhile. Personal note, I accidentally started a ministry unintentionally. Scott and I were talking about this. Scott's been working with me and Evan on the project here on his days off. I didn't used to care much about dogs till I got a dog, and now I kind of like dogs. So I keep a bag of beef jerky in my truck, and when people come by with a dog, I'll offer if the dog can have some. If not, that's fine, but I get to know them. And there's people that I've talked to because of that. One is a girl that was born in Iran. She grew up here. She doesn't go to church, but because I talked to her and fed her a little dog, Sammy, and they just love coming around to this space out here, outside. She actually showed up on our Christmas Eve service. And not a Christian, she came because of the warmth that she felt in the community from the people she'd encountered from when Scott and Evan and I were working, and through Rika when she saw her. And she came, she gave our family a present, gave us a handwritten card. And she heard Vic's message on Christmas Eve, and she heard the singing, and that would have never happened except for me throwing jerky at dogs in the street. So I'm grateful for that. The challenge I've got for you is I'm an elder, if you don't know. Pearson is an elder. That's the two elders we have. Every 7 years, we have to take a sabbatical, so this is my year to cycle off. We have to have two elders to operate as a church according to our constitution. So we need another elder, and Pearson cycles off next year. So we need at least one other elder. I know many of you have served in this church as elders and deacons, and many do continue to serve as deacons, but very important to, when you're doing your thoughts about your New Year's resolutions, think about that. Think about, as God challenges you to be in service, and what could you be standing up here next year telling about the great works of God and glory through this church as whatever role in ministry you choose to take on. Thank you.
One of the great blessings in 2025 is that we finally found somebody, an associate pastor, a youth pastor, we've been looking for many years. So Ken is going to come and share a little bit of the background story. I'm also going to give him a few extra minutes because Carson also sent a letter to be read, and I just gave it to him this morning. So,
good morning. I'm going to start with Carson's letter because it transitions well into how Carson came to be here. And he tells a little bit of that story in his letter. So, and they send their apologies for not being here with us this Sunday as they're visiting family in the interior. He starts off with, "What a year it's been for us as we have waited for God's timing in showing us where and when he would send us into our next season of ministry. I had applied and interviewed with 3 different churches before Ken reached out to me about the possibility of working at Mountain View. After much prayer and consideration, Emma and I did not feel that the other 3 churches were where God was leading us at the time. A common theme in the answer to our prayers was wait. Have patience as we waited for God to show us where he was leading us next." Going back, he says, "I was actually driving to an in-person interview for the 3rd church that I applied for when I got a text from my mom saying, 'I just talked to Ken at a conference and there might be another church that you should be thinking about.' Little did I know that this message was the start of a journey towards being here in Vancouver. And we are very thankful that God was telling us to wait so that we could join our family here at Mountain View. It's been a long journey of conversations, prayer, and discernment that has led us to this place. We have only been here 1.5 years, but we are very thankful to be able to call this church our home. And to be walking alongside everyone as we all grow in our love for Jesus, obedience to him as we try to build his kingdom and spread the good news of the gospel to Mount Pleasant and the Vancouver area. As we all look ahead to this new year, my prayer is that we would desire to see this church and the people around us grow in our love for the Lord, his word, and his people, thereby obeying him and putting our trust in the Holy Spirit who will transform our lives and the lives of those we fellowship with." And he finishes with this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 to 24. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it." There's one other touch point in this that he didn't share, and that was, I think most of you know, in the summertime, Carolyn and I, we live up in the interior, and the church we attend is called Copper Island Church. Emma's father, Steve McLean, is the pastor there, and he and I would meet for breakfast about once a month or so while we were up there. And one breakfast meeting, I just asked how it was going with Carson because I knew he was in the midst of looking at some churches in the interior, and he said, "Well, it's not going well." So he had mentioned those 3 churches that they were looking at. The biggest issue and why they did not accept, in some cases they were actually offered the position they did not accept, was because they weren't theologically aligned in terms of how they read Scripture. And I have to say that the thing I appreciate about Carson and this church is that the Bible is our final authority in terms of what truth is. And he was looking for that. Emma and Carson were not going to compromise the foundational truth that the church was built on. And so, anyways, in my conversation with Steve, as he was sharing what was going on with the 3 churches, I mentioned to him that, hey, we have this position in Vancouver at our church. And probably I had Carolyn in the back of my mind, who's been continually recruiting for someone, particularly Elder Miller, because the teaching is so good, that we are looking for a youth pastor here in Vancouver. So there were a number of opportunities that we had to essentially present that we had an opportunity here for Carson to consider. In business, we talk about something called inflection points. Those are important points in the life of an organization that make a difference. There's been 3 that I'm aware of in this church. These are positive inflection points where the church took a big step up in the right direction. The first one was in us coming together in 2014. That's 19th Avenue, Ruth Morton, coming together as Mountain View Christian Fellowship. And I think we'd all agree that was an important part in the history of our church. The second was in calling Sean become our more than just worship leader, but an administrative support in the church. And I would say the third is the hiring of Carson to come here and look after our youth. So God is good, and the wait has been worth it to find the right people, and we are blessed. Thank you.
I think we'd all agree that one of the highlights of 2025 was just witnessing six individuals being baptized. And I had asked Emily, who was baptized, to come and share, and she was going to. But again, this morning I just received a text saying that she's really not feeling well. So she's watching online. Speedy recovery, Emily. But I'm going to ask Carolyn if she will come. Now, she's had exactly 3 minutes to 3 to 5 minutes to plan for this. So, but they've been involved in the lives of the youth and others, and so I'm going to put Carolyn on the spot. No mercy, though. 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll try hard. I'll try hard. Okay, I feel like this talking this morning is all about waiting. Because it is true that I have been badgering Miller and badgering anyone I knew since about 2016 when Tracer and I said we would take on the temporary youth leader for Mountain View, and loved it, but we always felt the kids needed somebody a little bit in their age range because we're a little bit on the older side. But God had other plans because, actually, we got Austin. So Austin and Rebecca decided to come in 2019, and they led us through COVID, which was incredibly challenging, and kept the youth connected. Then he decided to go off to missions, irritatingly enough, but that was good for him, and thankfully, the Lord's timing was just right, because I believe the Louis, who are going to go away, somehow that changed, or they were here on their sabbatical, I can't quite remember the details, and they took on leadership of the youth, which was awesome, and they taught them Sunday school, led them spiritually, and then they had to go off to missions, again, back to their jobs, and they asked Ken and I if we would take on the Sunday school leadership. Again, we had no one. We'd been praying for a long time. I said yes, but we were not going to do the Friday night, so Sharon, Tracy, Will, and Pearson all stepped up to do Friday night. I know this has taken a long time, but this is important because we all felt that they needed someone in their age group, although we loved hanging with them and we loved teaching them, and they're an amazing group of kids. So Sunday mornings was awesome, Fridays was awesome, and when Carson and that whole wait, and it took a little bit of waiting on our part for him to come, was able to come, I think it's only been 6 months, hasn't it been, not a year and a half? Yeah, 6 months. So that was, he joined us just before our youth retreat and came up and was part of the mentoring of our youth from there. So come September, we were able to enjoy seeing, was it three of our youth at least? Emily, Alex, Caitlin, anyone else you guys can remember that I'm missing? Who? Michael, yeah, from youth? Oh, Michael, yes, because he's younger. Yeah, that's right. He hasn't quite got up there though. And it was exciting for Carson and Emma to be able to witness that and to come along, and they've been, come alongside them now as well to mentor and to disciple. And to see the growth in our youth over that time, you just go, you know what? God uses everyone and anyone when, and it doesn't matter your age, but boy, we're very blessed to have a young folk. And Carson and Emma, if you're watching, thank you so much. You have been long time prayed for in this place, and we feel very much like they have our answer to prayer. And God's timing is good. I'm just not very patient, so it's good. I've learned a lot through this process. So, yeah.
Thank you. Well, now I'm going to ask Sean to come. He wears many hats here at Mountain View, and he'll come and share.
Good morning. When you think of a worshiper from Scripture, who's someone that comes to mind? David. Amen. Did you know that David was also an administrator? So there's that. I'm very thankful for the team. They come out. These are volunteers who give of their time, their talents, the labor of love. I think it's really important that we show appreciation to them, encourage them. You know, there's this relentless return of Sunday, right? And every week we come, and we don't want this just to be another Sunday, another, here we go again, another routine. Every time we gather for worship, it's an event. It's an event. We are praising the Most High God, and we are battling principalities and powers. And when the Spirit of God moves with freedom, anything can happen. People can be set free. There can be healing, and that's what we want. We don't want to just be singing songs. And I've said this before, but I really ask that we lay aside our consumeristic, you know, mentality when we come to worship. For 6 days and 23 and a half hours a week, you can listen to whatever you want and do whatever you want. But for the short time we're here not for us. We're here for God. Amen. Now, there is a place, and as we speak, this place, this heavenly place, where at the very center is the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. This is the epicenter of heaven. And around this space, this sacred space, there are weird cherubim and seraphim with eyes and wings. There are innumerable angels. There are 24 elders. And there are people from every tribe and tongue and nation praising the Lamb, crying, "Worthy is the Lamb." That's going on all the time. So when we gather here, It's a dim reflection of what's going on all the time. And that's what we seek, that our worship would somehow touch upon those heavenly things. That's our prayer. You know, we live in a very divided world. This world right now, there's so much division, irreconcilable differences. And even in the churches, there's a lot of division. You know, Ken has mentioned the theological heresies that are just running rampant, and not just in the mainline churches, but in the evangelical churches. And Christ prays for unity, right? In John 17, he prayed for unity, and he still prays that. Our unity will be in truly worshiping the one true God, Father, Son, and Spirit, worshiping him in spirit and truth. And that's our prayer, and that's our desire, that's our goal for Mountain View. That when people enter here, they can get a taste of heaven, an experience of the Spirit, that Christ the Lord would be high and exalted. God bless you.
Thank you, Sean. There's a number of people that have been involved in growth groups, small groups, care groups, whatever. And I'm going to invite Rachel to come now. Why don't you come, Rachel? And she's going to share a little bit about her experience in being in the small group setting and what she's learned. And
okay. Sorry, I'm a bit shy, but I'll I'll make sure you don't yank the mic off. I'll just go straight to the point. Okay, so I'm part of two groups each week. Tuesdays are like current affairs and Bible study with Pastor Sean. And Sunday is what the church knows as the movie night, which I call the Sunday evening classes, because I've come to realize that it wasn't really movies, Pastor Sean. Pastor Vic, it wasn't movies. Okay, so my very first encounter with, I'm going to zoom in on the movie night. So my very first encounter was, I sat there that third Sunday, which I had attended church, and then there was the announcement, oh, movie night. I was like, yeah, I'm not doing anything Sunday evening, and it's free, right? So I dragged myself there to the annex and joined a wonderful different other group of people. And then this movie came on, and to my horror, I must confess, it was about the jihadists. Hello, I'm coming from Nigeria, and then you are showing movies about jihadists. So I sat down there, and I learned a lesson that day. I have been an hungry person. I didn't know I had bottled hunger in me. I didn't know. That evening was when I saw my true self. And after the movies, there's this wonderful thing we do. We talk, we discuss about what we have watched, what we learned, experiences and all that. And I sat down there that evening and heard everybody's different views and all of that. And there was a consensus. God hated what they did, but God did not hate these people. And I was even more angry. I was furious, but I kept quiet. And the following Sunday afterwards was another movie on the jihadists called Not Without My Daughter. And I was like, yes, maybe they will get it now. On getting there, it was still the same thing. And then I concluded that Jesus here is different from the Jesus in Nigeria. God is partial. And afterwards, we had the session on the missionaries. And I was thinking to myself, maybe they would know now that Jesus is different. Like, he's partial, right? But, and you know, the Elliot story, the woman, you know, they went to Ecuador and all of that. They were ready to lay down their lives. Please don't get me wrong. I've been a Christian almost all my life. But this year has really made me see this Jesus move in a different dimension. Different, I mean, I got to realize that Jesus was the same. He is the same everywhere. I was the one with a different perspective. So my testimony about the Sunday movie night, which I call Sunday classes, is actually how I got to change my perspective of who Jesus is and how I can tap everywhere I am, wherever in Africa, in the UK here, how I can be able to understand how to actually absorb the grace and who Jesus is to me. And as if that was not enough, we started the Twilight Zone. I had never, ever, ever seen that. It was like a reckoning where I watched how we humans are, our lives in the absence of who Jesus is. I watched how, there was this particular one. I'm sorry, I won't take more time. There was this particular one, do you remember, where you showed about this lady, she didn't know she was a robot, and then she kept complaining about all the other servants. Can you understand? And ever since then, everywhere I go, I'm like, that is the Twilight Zone. How will I react? How will I behave? How will I caution myself and remember that I'm a Jesus child? And as though I knew it all, we started with C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis to me is not new. My daughter loves his books, the Narnia series, but to me it was just one of those authors until we started C.S. Lewis. When I mean we started a series on the apologetics, where I get to learn the Mere Christianity book, and then we also treated the Surprised by Joy, is live. But my profound moment was when I discovered The Great Divorce. That was my very highlight of the whole, the Sunday evening classes, movie nights. That was my highlight. That was my high point. Because I realized that we as human beings, if we are not ready, like I said earlier, to change our perspective, to really look deep and look where we are, we might find ourselves in heaven and not actually be able to tap into the grace and the benefits and the beauty of heaven just because of who we are. And I must, okay, I'll stop now. Thank you, Pastor V. Thank you, Pastor Sean. Thank you, everybody, for sharing your insights. Late Miss Holly, she always had this beautiful insight, and Miss Inkeri, everybody, Miss Pat, everybody, Mr. Ron, they would just sit down and, you know, they would say these words, and I'd be like, that's true. But, you know, it wasn't as if I didn't know this thing, but it's different when you watch and learn from other people's perspective. Thank you so much.
We're very appreciative here as well for the leadership that Tanya has taken in helping us to take care of our missionaries. So I'm going to invite Tanya to come up. And what's been going on behind the scenes?
Oh, hi, everyone. I'm sharing on behalf of the missions committee, that is myself, Pastor Vic, Doug Inkeri, and Ben. Our church supports 10 individuals, couples, and families, and they serve in the Philippines, India, Poland, Thailand, and Canada. So locally, that would be Burnaby and Abbotsford. And we also have missionaries based in Canada and the U.S., and they serve other missionaries in Peru, Colombia, Europe, and Asia. So basically, there's a lot of influence. So those who are in Canada and the U.S. who are serving elsewhere, they do that in terms of helping with Bible translation, general administration within missions organizations, and also missionary mentoring and training. So that's in a nutshell where and how we're involved. And in terms of looking back on 2025, so to go back to your opening question of is the glass half full or half empty, for me personally, I would just say the glass is too big. And it would be full, but anyway. So some positive highlights from 2025. In Poland, there were half a dozen summer camps run there, and some of them were for special needs individuals, Ukrainian refugees, all kinds of people with challenges and a lot of suffering. And in Peru, there was a Bible translation that was completed for the East Apuri Moc Quechua Indian tribe. And other things that have been completed, for example, we had a family, missionary family visit this summer from Indonesia, and we were able to meet with them and learn more about the Medivac work they do there and the involvement with remote schools and medical centers in Indonesia, and of course we prayed with them and for them. And as a congregation, we were also able to send some clothing to Uganda with Sammy on one of his trips. And then more recently, Vic and Karen went with extra suitcases to take items to Toncho in the Philippines for his community. Also, just in terms of one-offs, we did send additional mission funds towards the construction of a chapel in Lodz, Poland. And because, as you know, there's Poland is very close to Ukraine, and so our missionaries there are just going back and forth all the time and helping and bringing refugees in and ministering to them. And there was another missionary who, when he was here a couple years ago, we met with him and debriefed with him, and he mentioned wanting to buy motorbikes for pastors in India so that they could travel to remote villages and preach in the churches and to evangelize. And when I was communicating with him recently, he mentioned that that was still a need. So this year we sent one-time funds to be able to help with that, which is a very practical way to help actually evangelize, right? If these guys can get on their motorbikes to physically get from point A to point B, that's a tangible and practical impact. So our financial commitment is exactly that. It's tangible, it's practical. We support works and evangelism both locally and globally. And more importantly is the prayer support. So please keep them in mind. And if you would like a list, come see me or the committee members. We do have postings on the back bulletin boards there as well. The mission committee meets monthly to review missionary updates and to pray for them. If you're at all interested, then please speak to me or another committee member to join. And I see Pastor Vic is not lurching this way, so I'm going to throw in a couple more items here. So the women's prayer group has also been meeting throughout the year. We've actually been meeting for 7 years, so December is the completion of our 7 years. And we have, this year, we have achieved working through the Lord's Prayer. And I basically took a chapter out of Vic's book by doing it a line by line for each month. We meet monthly to pray, and we pray for each other, and we basically pray for anything and everything on our hearts, or what gets shared with us, or what gets brought up. So it's locally, it's community-based, it's global. Like, we will pray for anything that that comes to mind. So if you do have any requests, feel free to let us know about that as well. Thank you.
Okay. The last person on my list is Ing Carey, if she will come. We have lost a very dear sister in 2025, Ollie, and Ing Carey is just going to come and share a little bit about Ollie.
Good morning. Many of you wouldn't believe I have new glasses because they're exactly like the old frames, but now I can actually see you, and now I can't. Many of you may not have been able to attend Ollie Raczynski's memorial, so these are some of my recollections of her. One of Ollie's favorite things to do was gardening. If you visited her residence, you could see her handiwork bordering the walkways. Often in the spring or summer, she would say, "Oh, you really must see the crocuses, the daffodils, the tulips, the daisies, the gladioli, and so on," whatever the case was at that time. After she broke her kneecap a few years ago, she had told me she learned something. I asked, "What was that?" She said, "Never run for a bus." One Saturday in early April, I suggested we have an outing together. "Yes," she said, "she could really go for a decent cup of coffee at Tim Hortons." I picked her up, and after quenching our coffee craving, I asked if she had time to go for a drive. She agreed, and we drove around the UBC grounds. Her expressions of delight in seeing the cherry blossoms, the rhododendrons, and just the profusion of blooms around her was so gratifying to behold. Because she needed her knee elevated when sitting for a while, she couldn't come to church. I suggested she could sit in the big wing chair at the back and have someone bring her a small stool to rest her leg on. The next Sunday, she was happy to be in fellowship with us again. Really happy. I was happy too. When calling her, she would always ask me, How was I doing with my health challenges, even when hers were much harder to face? At times, she wanted to go to McDonald's for a coffee after Bible study, just so we could spend some time together. In ways, her ability to encourage others was much like caring for her flowers. She could tend to others simply by affirming them with, "Hi, how are you doing?" In some of her selfless anecdotes of helping people, I could tell she believed others were worth her investment of time, even when they didn't always respond with gratefulness. She nourished others with her moral support, and she nourished us by tirelessly making her delicious egg salad sandwiches and borscht, especially for our Bible study group. In serving others, she served her Lord and Savior. Like some of her more exotic blooms, her life, I believe, was like a pleasing fragrance to God. And in his infinite wisdom, like a flower ready for picking, he took her in his loving hands to be with him forever. I will miss her. I was, among many of you, blessed to know her. And we shall meet again.
Thank you. We're going to watch just a 3-minute video at this time. The video is done by Bammy. Is Bammy here? I can't see him. No, he didn't make it today. But he's very gifted, and he does one of these every week, which he sends me and a number of individuals. So I'm going to let you just take a look at his giftedness and talent.
Have you ever felt like you're waiting for a miracle, but it just hasn't arrived? We often have big expectations for how God will move in our lives. John 1:10 reminds us, "He was in the Word, and the Word was made through Him, and the Word did not know Him." And sometimes, just like then, that miracle we're praying for might already be unfolding right under our noses without us even realizing it. We tend to anticipate our earth-shaking occurrence that would signify the answers we desperately seek. But sometimes, that miracle we're looking for in a magnificent way might have actually begun in our lives without us giving it much attention. Usually, we only get to truly recognize it when we arrive at the completion phase, when it becomes more tangible. Sometimes the Lord comes unannounced, quietly turning our lives around in the most unlikely ways. If you look deeply, you'll realize that a work has already begun in your life, and what you've been praying for is already receiving the attention of the divine. Look how far you've come, and think of where you were yesterday. And today, you're just a few moments away from the completion of what God has already begun in your life. Remember this: Christ came to his own, but not in the way they expected him. He came humbly and lowly. So let's take a moment to reflect here. In what ways has the Lord arrived in your life that because of your own subjective expectation, you might have missed acknowledging His presence and His work? Remember that the greatest miracle is the new person you are becoming daily in Christ.
I believe Opemi and Bami will be moving at the end of this month, so they're under a deadline. I'm going to ask Pearson if you'll come at this point, but first I just also, looking back, 2025, in many ways I feel we've only touched the tip of the iceberg of various stories and people's lives. People who left here, Jason and Angela, Andreas and Renata, very people close to our hearts that have served us, and we miss them. I was on the phone recently with Derek and Cynthia. We haven't seen them for a while, but they're moving back to Toronto. We're gonna miss them. But there was a baby born, Tito, and we welcome him into the world. She's here. Where, downstairs? Yeah, downstairs. And we want to welcome the many that joined our community in 2025. Thank you for your gift cards. Thank you for the small groups. Thank you for the phone calls, for inviting friends to the service. From the smallest thing that you have done, we appreciate it. We do remember those that are struggling just with their medical issues, and just pray for a recovery there. But why don't you come and let's stand together as we just pray, giving thanks and looking forward as well.
All right, let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for, we thank you that you are working always in our lives, in this world, and in our church, Lord. We thank you for the testimonies we've heard this morning, Lord, of what you've been doing through 2025, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the lives that have come into our midst, Lord, that have blessed us through our interactions, Lord. And we thank you for just all the work that you do, that takes place behind the scenes, Lord. We know that, Lord, you are always in control, Lord, that you are sovereign. And we just give you all the praise and the glory, Lord, for just for everything you do, Lord. It's not because of us, Lord, but we thank you for the opportunity that we can come along and that we can serve. And we thank you for the blessings that we get by serving, Lord, and the encouragement that you give us, Lord. And so, Lord, as we look forward to this coming year, Lord, for 2026, Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to seek you, Lord, daily, Lord, both individually and as a church, Lord, that we would continue to share your word with others, Lord. Lord, that we would continue to lift you up in prayer, but, Lord, that most importantly, Lord, that we would continue to look for opportunities to serve you, Lord, that lives would continue to be changed by Jesus and by your Spirit, Lord. And, Lord, we just ask for these things because we want to see you glorified, Lord, and that we want to see your will be done. And we just want to lift you up, and we just pray for these things in and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.